Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. Lozola Kati is joining us from the Right to Know National Communication Rights Campaign. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Howard. I'm well. How are you?
I am good, thank you. So we saw this happening, didn't we, in Eswatini now, with the political instability or the demonstrations?
Yes, we did. Listen, internet shutdowns is currently a global situation. It's not only happening in third world countries, it's happening all over the world. We've seen it happen in Japan, we're seeing it now in Japan, we've seen it happen in MENA, we've seen it happen even in other African countries. Now we're seeing it closer to home in Eswatini due to pro-democratic protests.
I remember a couple of years ago traveling to China. It was during the Arab Spring, and somebody said to me, go onto the internet and search Egypt. And I did that, and the word Egypt, it just didn't come up. It just took me nowhere because China didn't want people to be inspired by what was going on in Egypt or the Middle East at the time. So that's one form of restriction. But then we're starting to see these blanket shutdowns. Give us some context around how this is used, how it's possible, and what we can do about it.
Okay, so what we're seeing different types of shutdowns. So what you're relating now is a specific sort of blocking of content based on maybe a country or a specific topic. But what we're seeing now is blanket shutdowns whereby the internet actually does not work. So this means internet, emails, social media platforms are all blocked. So, for instance, in the case study of Eswatini, we saw on the 29th of June, the government basically ordered telecommunications in Eswatini to be shut down and ordered the MTN group, so this is also a service provider, to shut down their basically a service within Eswatini, right? So now we have a situation whereby there's a repressive leadership within a specific country, and they are blocking citizens from having global communication outside of the country. And this is a form of political repression. This is also a form of a human rights violation, because as we know and as we've seen within the trends, that this happens mainly when there is protest, when there is political conflict, and it's basically the people of the country being the voice of dissent against the government, right? So what we can do as citizens and as neighboring sort of countries is petitions, formal letters, open letters. We can also basically, we've got, even now there have been a group of lawyers that have gone in against the MTN sort of shutting down the internet Eswatini. So other civil society organizations are our best bet. They can go in as amicus, which means friends of the court. What we can also do as just normal citizens is join in petitions and join in formal letters and be on social media alerting politicians. So in South Africa, the Department of International Relations Corporation, we tag them. We write formal letters. We write to the UN repertoire the UN repertoire on freedom of expression. We write to them. We tag them. The best that we can do now is use this tool that has been taken away from the Eswatini citizens, and use the internet, use social media, because social media has become a very big sort of platform in terms of advocacy and in terms of human rights, sort of it being realized. So we use these platforms because now politicians, now even humanitarian and philanthropists sit on social media and are actually going through social media and are listening to people. So what we can do in our time is actually go on social media, have our marches, obviously being fully cognizant of COVID-19 regulations. But what we can do is the little that we can do in our small pockets and in civil societies and in our countries, we need to do to stop this.
When we look at a place like Eswatini, if we look at Zimbabwe, these types of places, part of us says third world, it could never happen here.
Yeah.
How realistic, or how much more difficult would it be if whoever was in power at that time, in a fictional year, decided we don't like what South Africans are talking about and mobilizing about, we're going to shut down the internet? How difficult is that?
Listen, the other thing that we need to remember as South Africans is that we are not special. We are in Africa. We are part of Africa. Mm. We are a third world country. First of all, that is one of the bigger things that we need to remember in South Africa. What we do have is a pro-democratic constitution. But as a right to know, what we have seen over the years are consistent interruptions in media freedom. We have seen, for instance, in the past couple of years, the Minister of Communications has interfered within broadcasting within the SABC. There was a big case two or three years ago, whereby the minister interfered in actually protest marches being broadcasted in the SABC. We've seen miners shutdown not being broadcast in the SABC. We have now, during the Zondo Commission, have seen that there have been media interruptions within media freedom in South Africa. We had the testimonial from Ms. Kay basically saying that there were specific stories being bought, and those types of allegations. So if it's possible in the media space, it's possible in the internet space. When a government can wake up and say, in a third world country, any country can wake up and say, shut down the internet, it is possible in South Africa. And it's definitely possible.
I know you mentioned the United Nations, you mentioned all of these, a number of organizations. Is it becoming more important to have a global body that ensures or takes up the cause of people who might suddenly be rendered voiceless?
Definitely. There is a global call, because the shutting down of the internet is a global situation at this point. Governments are using this as a pushback. So there is definitely a need. And there's definitely a need for more organizations and for more bodies that can hold these countries accountable. And there's definitely a need for a global community to come together and actually begin to battle these internet shutdowns, because they're not isolated cases. It's the same trend. Either there's political conflict, either there's a voice of dissent against the government and human rights violations. It's the same trend. So there definitely needs to be a global community coming together and actually being prepared, better prepared actually, for internet shutdown.
Before I let you go, tell me again what we can do and what our listeners can do to assist in the current situation, which is what is going on in Eswatini.
Yes, 13 years. So there are a number of petitions going out. Currently, I would advise that we as citizens in neighboring countries go on the internet, go on your Twitter, tag the President of South Africa, tag Durko, tag the UN, and let's basically bring out the story of Eswatini and make sure that these relevant international bodies are aware of what's going on and are doing something. Let's encourage, tag your MTN group and encourage them to stand against what it is that the leadership of Eswatini are doing. We need to encourage service providers to also back the people, to back pro-democracy, to back the cries of citizens within these countries. And I would also suggest that the Right to Know will also be releasing an open letter to and the president of South Africa. So we will put that on our Twitter page at R2K campaign. Please retweet. Please tweet. We will be on the internet throughout the day. Let us go on the hashtag Eswatini Lives Matter. Go on the hashtag Eswatini Bleeding. Go on the hashtag Eswatini Protest and retweet and comment. Because at this particular point, raising the social media voice and telling the stories that the Eswatini people cannot tell and making sure they get to the ears of the right people is the best that we can do. We will be also tweeting and basically posting on our website as well, www.r2k.org, about petitions that we can join. Should we start a petition, we'll put it up as well. People should sign petitions and be part of telling the story and be part of fighting against this situation.
And that is where we leave it, an incredibly important conversation. Thank you, Lesola Kati, Right to Know, National Communications Right Campaigner. It is something that we need to be aware of.